Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Previously.tv Podcast Network.
You know, I'm missing Circus of the Stars for this.
Once you see the bigger picture, you'll be hooked, I promise.
Just give me the highlights. Save the rest for the reunion movie.
Okay.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Beverly Hills 90210 edition. Today's episode is Season 3, Episode 16. It's a totally happening life. And now here are your hosts, Tara Ariano and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
Are you ready to tackle this no-knack-worthy episode of Beverly Hills 90210? Well, we're doing it anyway. First, though, a programming note. We will be off for the week of February 22nd. Dave and I are going to be taking a trip. So we will be off that week, but we will return with the new episodes on February 29th. Leap day!
Woo!
Very exciting for everybody. So let's get into this because we can't avoid it. This is for real one of the worst things that has ever happened to television.
Yeah, it really is.
This seems like hyperbole, but it really is. And we have to just go through it basically chronologically because of how it's structured, which is to say awkwardly and very laboriously. So the Christmas lights are up at the Walsh house, but that is not where we're going. No, instead, the camera keeps panning up to the stars.
To space!
Or the heavens, one way or another. And yes, and we hear this, clip number 2.
Clarence? Clarence? Clarence?
I heard you the first time. This better be good.
I wouldn't be bothering someone with your busy schedule if I didn't think it was at least a code 2.
Famines and floods are code 2. Tornadoes and earthquakes are code 2.
All right, so maybe it's a code 3. I haven't memorized the manual yet.
Well, memorize it and get back to me.
But by then it'll be too late. And a lot of people's Christmases will be ruined forever. And I'll never get my wings.
All right. Just stop talking and show me what you got. And it better be good.
Spoiler alert, it is not.
It isn't.
It's not worth anyone's time. Not yours, not mine, not Clarence's, not even Gordon's. So at school, the madrigal singers are caroling in the halls because this is a school that has a madrigal society. Dylan, Kelly, and Brenda are wrapping presents for the kids at the Alvarado Street School. At least they are trying to help people this holiday season as opposed to whatever the fuck this is in the blaze, which a lot of parents read, although after this they may stop. Clip number 3.
It was the day before midterms and all through the school.
The teachers were jamming. The students were cool.
Who were they?
The editors of the school newspaper. The
Blaze staff kicked butt to put the paper to bed.
Well, visions of vacations danced in their heads.
For the record, I just want to make it clear, they did not learn this in honors English.
They did.
Oh, God. Please go to the visual aids to get your eyes seared by how incredibly proud Andrea is of this fucking drag, because it's not acceptable.
No, it's really not.
Steve, meanwhile.
And what were they learning in honors English, Gil? Hawthorn?
Hawthorn! I was trying to remember how he mispronounced it the other day, and I couldn't. Thank you so much. I'll never forget it now. Steve, meanwhile, is in detention, and when we cut from there to him bitching about it afterward, whoop, 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 siren.gif, he cut his mullet.
Yay!
You can see the back of his neck for the first time ever in the visual aids. It's very exciting. He's gotten into the 90s at last. The gifts are all wrapped. Donna just needs a Santa. Brandon is covering this present giveaway for the paper, so he can't do it. David Whatever. Is filming it. Steve is barred from school events. Clip number 4.
That leaves only one person, Don.
Dilwig.
Oh, like a Santa.
Oh, no.
Okay, that leaves only one person in the school. Like, I know that they're just...
Tony Miller? Heard of him?
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't even think of him. But anyway, obviously neither did anyone else, because this just shows up how up their own collective ass the gang is. Also, Dillwig, excellent nickname for Dylan, stealing it. Anyway, Clarence is not interested in the kids, as he should not be, and they're unproblems. So Miriam has to jump ahead 2 days. These are the angels' names, by the way. So we can see the bus on the way to the school, and everyone's sitting separately and seething. There is a gif. Miriam convinces Clarence that this is a story worth telling and jumps backwards 2 days to where we were, starting at the blaze. A lot of parents read it. Clip number 5.
So, Andrea, what's the lead story in your special Christmas edition?
An exclusive interview with Miss Claus. It is the year of the woman up in the North Pole.
Don't mind her. She's on a roll.
Oh, God.
Just let us take a moment. Mm-hmm. Let us now praise famous Greens. Mm-hmm. Brian Austin Green's complete inability. Like, he keeps it up for like 3 words and he's like, I don't fucking care. Totally fails on the line. Amen.
Yeah. Well, we were about to find out that he has his own problems. But speaking of problems, Gil's boots, he's still wearing the suede cowboy boots. They are in the visual aids. The even the angels can see them from heaven, as we see in the overhead shot.
The Great Wall of China. And yep. Those boots.
Mm-hmm.
The light on the Luxor. The boots.
So then Grandma Rose calls about an envelope from Yale. Andrea tells her not to open it and deflates when she hears that it's thin. Clip number 6.
Hey, you don't know what it says yet.
Look, Gil, we all know that a thick envelope means you got in, and a thin envelope means we regret to inform you, but...
Yeah, but that's what they should say in your case, right?
No way. They must have a different system for early admission.
Oh, I bet they just took one look at her application and said... Reject.
What? Why is it so mean?
I mean, I'm with it. And also, they don't have a different system for early admission. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Right.
But yeah, I just kind of love it.
The more,
especially since it doesn't end up mattering.
True. But the more that time Mark Keeley, who plays Gil, spends on this show, the more I think the reason they had to write the Gil doesn't like Andrea narrative is that he did not like Gabrielle Carteris either, because he really relishes shitting on her like this. So Brandon wants to bet, eyebrow, that Andrea got accepted because he has an incipient nice. Gambling problem. But when Gil doesn't take the bet, he suggests that he and Andrea go to the apartment immediately and open it. And so they do. Andrea is too freaked out to actually open it, but then she does. And she's accepted. She hugs Brandon. And then she also got a letter from Jay. And apparently it's all about him dumping her, as Brandon later tells the family while they're decorating the tree, adding...
Oh, wait, no. First, we have to hear some disgusting mentions of...
Oh, God, Gil's yes. I totally skipped over it.
Naked face.
Yes, I'm sorry. She's accepted, and she hugs Brandon and then says this, clip number 7.
I can't wait. I gotta tell Myers.
He's gotta pay up on his bet.
Good. I'm gonna make him shave his beard, see what he looks like in the nude.
Sorry.
Oh,
maybe Nana. My brain... Obviously, I was trying
to... You can leave your boots on.
Gross.
Sorry.
Look, I tried. So the letter, as I said, from Jay was all about him dumping her. As Brandon tells the family, they're decorating the tree in clip number 8.
You know, I never liked Jay.
You didn't like Jay because he's a young Republican.
That had nothing to do with it. Well... Maybe it had a little to do with it, but, you know, I always just knew that he was wrong for Andrea. Of course, I never said anything because I didn't want to seem like I was being...
Jealous?
Bitter? Petty?
Yes, yes, and yes. And I love how he even has that, like, the braying tone of voice when he's in a good mood. Like, why are you like this? Ugh. Anyway, Dylan and Kelly are at the door together. They're supposed to go study with Brenda, but Kelly and Dylan want to blow it off and trim the tree. Speaking of trimming, Gil in the Blaze office the next day is shaving his beard with a straight razor in the Blaze office while David films it. Slow news year. Anyway.
Yeah. Speaking of slow, it takes for goddamn ever. Like, even how draggy it is, I think they came in at like 37 minutes because there's so much fillery shit in here.
It's really a lot. But anyway, that was the bet that he would, if Andrea got into Yale, he would shave his beard. So Gil and Andrea joke around about Yale. David wanders off and Donna, who's also there for no reason, asks him what's wrong. Apparently, he's just realized that he's going to be left alone in high school, which I thought was why he was in summer school or whatever. I really thought that they already figured this out, but whatever, they didn't.
Yeah, me too. But no. All
right. So he has not been on some kind of accelerated program this whole time. Brandon asks Andrea about Jay's timing in breaking up with her. She always thought getting into Yale was all she ever wanted, but apparently not. She asks him to go to the movies with her, but Nikki is coming back from San Francisco in a few hours. Cut to Brandon and Nikki making out in his room. Brandon is bragging that he's got him well-trained, speaking of his parents, when, of course, Cindy barges in without knocking. You can see her hilarious yikes face in the visual aids. Anyway, Brandon really missed Nikki. She missed him, too. And she got along so well with her family on this visit, she's moving back home tomorrow. So, in other words, it's dump town. Population, you.
Brandon.
Yep. I think that's our clip in clip number 9.
I didn't see that coming.
You ain't seen nothing yet.
Well, he'll be okay. There's a lot of fish in the sea. He'll have plenty of girlfriends.
Not if he gets on that bus.
Get on that bus. Get on that bus.
Bus 2016.
Before we move on to whether he gets on that bus or not, we have some remarks.
Yes, we do. We would like to wish Sarah Ings, without whose name I almost cannot spell my own, a very happy birthday with the hashtag Sarah Ings Challenge. That's right. In the hashtag Sarah Ings Challenge, 90210 characters will instruct us in 5 ways that they might suck at Twitter, beginning with Dylan, who would post moody Jim Morrison quotes.
Unfollow. Steve reposts tweets without attribution, gets blocked, and rightly so.
Yes. Andrea, relentless over Twitter, although a lot of parents read them. Nat keeps giving away sponsored tweets and is about to go bankrupt as a result at Peach Pit. And last but not least, Brandon, turn off the caps lock and yourself. Sarah, as you build your Twitter brand on your natal day, please avoid these Bev Niner social media pitfalls and have an outstanding year.
Happy birthday, Sarah.
Happy birthday. Now back to the drudgery that is this episode.
And happy birthday, Jesus.
We are sleeves.
Yes. So after the commercial, Brandon and Brenda are moping on his bed, where she nominates Kelly and Dylan for most conniving in the yearbook. He tells her about Nikki, and then we go backwards again to find out how we got from making merry around the Christmas tree to Brenda's dark revenge. So at the Peach Pit, Kelly and Brenda sit down Dylan to talk about the bad few weeks they've just had, but Brendan and Kelly have an idea of how to fix it in clip 10.
Dylan, we both love you.
Barf.
We both find you very attractive.
Barf.
And very sexy.
Barf.
We get it.
What exactly are you two suggesting?
This kid has seen too many French movies.
Maybe you've seen too many French movies.
I think we should all stop trying to hide our mutual feelings. Admit how we all feel and agree to be friends. Good friends. Platonic friends.
I see.
Dylan, you don't want to be tied down right now. You said so yourself, and we could all use a cooling off period. That way none of us will get hurt, and we're all in the same boat. So what do you think?
I think I love you both. I want to keep it that way.
Good. That was easy. To friendship.
Notice he's not super forthcoming about having worked Shadowcaster.
He sure
and
isn't.
I'm sorry, does this seem to come out of this like triangulation of the relationship? Like, I know he and Brenda said that they should, quote, see other people, but I kind of felt like they broke up.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah, no, they did. But then she, you know, decided she wasn't into Rick and that she wanted Dylan back and he had already moved on to Kelly, or so it seemed. I don't know. They're all dumb.
Shadowcaster.
Seriously. So everything went okay until Kelly and Dylan came over to study and something horrible happened, all right, in clip 11.
Am I the only one who thinks Shakespeare is boring?
Nope.
Well, the language is so dated.
How can you say that? I mean, okay, let's say you're at your local mall. Somebody's hassling you. You say to them, "It pucks on your throat, you bawling, blasphemous, incharitable dog."
Jesus.
Yes.
Thank you, William Shakespeare.
Does anybody else want a soda?
Oh, I do.
Yes, wench, bring it forth.
Oh. Coming right up, my lord.
I can't even get mad at it. It's so exhausting.
I hate it when he tries to be funny. Mm-hmm. Hate.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, at this era, he has a couple of moments in season two that I'm sure we gave him credit for at the time, but in this era, Dylan, no. So Kelly goes
insufferable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kelly goes downstairs where the other Walshes are watching It's a Wonderful Life so that the show cannot at what it's doing here with this episode and also have the angels say they've never heard of it, which is not funny. Speaking of not funny. But whatever. Kelly sits down next to Brandon to watch a little and misidentify Jimmy Stewart. She also says she loves this movie, whereas in the summer she told Dylan she hated black and white movies. Just saying. Upstairs, Brenda.
Maybe she was watching the colorized version on TBS.
Maybe. So upstairs, Brenda is lying on the bed when Dylan sits on the floor next to it, and she leans over to make the friendly gesture of kissing him on the cheek, which of course turns into making out. He stops it. She regrets it. They agree that it's just backsliding, but that they're really totally just friends, innocently not. At the Peach Pit, the triangle congratulate themselves some more about how mature they all are. Kelly informs them that David's mother just decided to move to Portland, which I guess will come up again later. So when she goes to talk to David about it, Dylan and Brenda agree that their kissing was an accident before, but they can't stop staring at each other's mouths anyway. David is so depressed he can't videotape the Alvarado Street event. Donna says she'll help. What does that mean? You can't walk around a schoolyard? Anyway.
Or just give someone a... You know what? Who cares?
Who cares? Give someone the camera or don't. Don't care. Kelly and Brenda pressure Dylan about being Santa at the school, even though he doesn't want to do it. And Brenda takes off with a final order in clip 12.
Work on him, Cal. Oh, I plan on it.
Even though his hair is, it makes me really angry. It's fucking ridiculous. It's like Ted Cruz and James Dean somehow impregnated Karen Carpenter. It's horrible.
It's true. At his house, Dylan lights a fire while Kelly continues wheedling at him about playing Santa. And we hear the debate such as it is in clip 13.
Come on, I bet you look really hot in a red suit.
You're
being very persistent.
Well, I promised Brenda I'd do whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh.
Now, nothing might have come of it if Brenda hadn't decided to surprise Dylan by bringing the Santa costume over to his house to try it on for size.
Surprise, surprise.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. Thank you for narrating what we could see for the radio audience.
Yes.
Clarence?
There is a GIF for the radio audience to go and look at in the visual aids of the two of them looking super guilty, getting caught, being peeped at through the glass in Dylan's door by Brenda.
Yeah, like it's totally a stride, humpy fun times.
Mm-hmm. So after commercials, Dylan tries to get Brenda to come in and talk about what happened. Comes out that Dylan and Brenda had also secretly made out the other day, and Kelly is, of course, not happy about it. Their bitch faces are epic. They also end up fighting about the Santa suit as if anyone gives a shit. So the next day at school, Brenda tells Donna that Kelly and Dylan can't go to the school or else she won't. Donna pushes back, so Brenda says she won't go then. And then Dylan tells Donna he's not going. Kelly also isn't going. This kid in a full kente cloth top with matching hat, also not going, I guess. But you can see him or her
and
in the visual aids.
And Beth Stelarczyk from Real World Los Angeles.
In a buffalo
totally
check jacket. Yep, she's not going. Dylan is freaking out about everyone ditching her when David says, guess what? He's also bagging it. It's a senior class thing and he's not a senior. Ooh, boo-hoo. So then Donna checks to see if Steve is coming. She thinks they could put him in disguise, like perhaps as Santa, but he declines. Donna asks Andre where Brandon is. She doesn't know. And also she wants to skip it now. She and Brandon need some time apart. And then Brandon finds Donna to say, guess what? He manages to bray about this too in clip 14.
Donna, the last couple days have been really tough for me, okay? And I'm really not in a festive holiday sort of mood. I'd just be a downer.
You are a downer every day of your life!
Oh my God.
Donna begs him to just go and fake it. Brandon says that Gil will let him off the hook, but Donna says Gil is not the one in charge. And actually,
this is absolutely awesome. The way that she's just like, oh, really? You're going to pull rank on me? Fuck you.
Yes.
Battle ever, Teasley 2016.
Yes, so the editing here cuts straight to all of the kids lined up in the administration office and Mrs. Teasley marching down the row, telling the entire gang to knock off their bullshit and get on the bus. And then we're on that very same faded bus. But Clarence points out that Miriam never told him what the deal was with Brandon and Andrea, so we have to back up a fucking gin. After Nikki dumped Brandon, he went to the Peach Pit to complain about his bad relationship karma. Nat was in the process of telling him the girls are throwing themselves at him all the time, and the next will be along any minute when Andrea walks through the door to pick up an order. Nat clears his throat at Brandon to ask her out instead, but now she has to babysit. She invites him to join, and he does. So when she's done putting the kids to bed, he is watching It's a Wonderful Life again. By the time the movie ends, during which time she's kept her blazer on, sitting on the couch like a fucking weirdo, they're both crying, and then they say this, clip 15. It bugs me so much when people wear their blazers around the house. Like, no one does that. This is the first thing you do when you walk in the house.
I do that.
You wear your blazer around the house?
Yeah.
You would sit and watch a movie in a blazer?
Yeah, it's a soft blazer.
Okay, well, hers is not.
It's not like a giant, boxy 90s blazer where I would be, like, held away from the couch by the shoulder pads. It's like a normal blazer.
All right.
Which I'm never going to be able to wear around the house again, I guess.
Mission Thanks. Accomplished. Get a cardigan,
all
right.
It's a blazer for life. Not anymore.
Every time a Brooks brother sings, an angel gets her blazer. I don't know. All right,
I guess we have our LVP, and it's me.
All right, now you may play the clip tape.
Miss Sarah Bunting. What on earth is she doing here?
Wearing a blazer on the couch, beaches.
Yeah. I needed a good cry.
Yeah, me too.
You know, that's what I love about you. You're just a sentimentalist at heart.
And what else do you love about?
You know, I don't know what my life would have been like if you guys hadn't moved here.
Well, you'd be editor of the paper, and you'd be going to Yale.
Yes, but would I have been happy?
Yes!
Or would I have just been some social outcast with calluses on the brain?
Well, that's entirely possible.
Oh, Nana.
You know, when I was dating Jay, I couldn't help but remember that day last summer when I just started seeing him, and you were trying to convince me to stay at the beach club.
Yeah.
You know, you're expressing your feelings.
Yes, and I can still recall the sting of your response.
Well, you know what they say. Timing is everything.
So they start kissing, the chewiest kiss you ever did see. I gifted, it's in the visual aids. Sorry, / you're welcome.
I can't believe you.
What? What'd I do?
You were thinking of Nikki. You don't think I knew that?
You were thinking about Jay.
Oh, so what? Now we're even?
No, that doesn't make us even, because I never even liked Jay. In fact, I am not only insulted, I'm disgusted.
Why'd you stop it?
Well, from there on, it gets ugly.
It definitely gets brayy, as you can also see in the visual aids, Brandon baring all of his teeth at her. Fucking monster.
Yeah.
Anyway, cut
yeah,
back to the
Brevenant, for sure.
Cut back to the Angels. The bus is on a collision course with a truck. Clarence smugly says that he looked ahead in her story and rerouted the truck, but Miriam tells him he corrected the wrong guy. And the one that she is worried about is still headed for the Bev Niners and drinking, as anyone who's actually watching this episode should also do, by the way. Meanwhile, Steve drives himself to the school where Gil is waiting. Gil is cool about Steve showing up against Mrs. Teasley's orders because he's cool about everything. He's just a cool dude. And on the bus, everyone is so pissy that it's hard not to root for the drunk truck driver to plow into them and kill everybody. In clip 16.
Are those people ever going to quit singing?
I happen to like the singing.
You would.
Why are you always picking on her? Why don't you stay out of it?
There is such a thing as over-rehearsing, Kel.
Oh, yes, and you are the music critic, right? He's allowed to have an opinion.
Yeah, and if he doesn't have one, he can get one from you, huh, Brad?
Hey, relax, will you?
Who died and left you, boss?
Unfortunately, none of these people. Also, the sequence, seriously, like, it goes on forever, like, with the suspenseful cuts. Like, they're going to kill the entire cast.
In the Christmas episode.
And then they reuse the same footage of this guy swigging the vodka. Like, oh, I just can't. Like, not only is it boring and treacly, it's poorly assembled. Boo.
It is, absolutely. And it's still not over. So when the Madrigal singers finally shut up, Donna stomps back to yell at everybody for being such selfish pricks. I am paraphrasing. Dylan tells us again, in case we forgot, he's not willing to play Santa. Like, we fucking get it. Donna lectures everyone about being grateful at Christmas, and everyone is duly shamed, getting over themselves and apologizing to those that they have wronged. Meanwhile, Steve at Alvarado's street school plays Simon Says with the kids, and the bus turns down the street. The garbage truck is heading straight for it, driving the wrong way on a perpendicular street. And then while Steve and Gil totally watch, and Steve yells at the driver to try and stop him, Clarence fixes it so that the bus drives through the truck. Now, you can see this in visual aids because I gift it. The seams of, like, the two shots that they knit together of, like, the truck and the bus coming at each other is totally wobbly at the top. You can see where it comes together. It's so amateurish. The angels have this exchange in clip 17.
How did you do that?
I didn't.
You mean it was
a higher power?
I reject God.
Yeah, good one, Yahweh.
Sweet Heavenly Father!
So all of the Bev Niner brats should be grateful Mrs. Teasley was on that bus, because I'm sure she's the only one that God would want to or bother to save. Thank you, Mrs. Teasley.
Despite the fact that numerous times the dialogue between the angel and the angel, whatever, novitiate, imply, if not outright say, that because Donna ain't fucking, they're gonna save her.
Oh, yeah.
And everyone else just got lucky.
Right. Yeah, Miriam calls her an angel on earth, if ever there was one. I never connected it to her virginity, but you're totally right. She's the only
stud
one.
Stud mania in control.
Such a squeeve.
Stud mania in control.
Yep.
Oh, gross.
Anyway, the greedy little poors of Alvarado Street School mob the fence. Mrs. Teasley walks right up to Steve and punishes him for flouting her rules by handing him the Santa costume. David tells Donna he can load up on required courses and graduate one semester later, which, doubtful, but she's worried that they're never going to see each other anymore, and he doesn't really argue that she's wrong. Kelly and Brenda and Dylan, by the way, totally ignore the kids for almost all of this. Like, all of the 90210ers are pretty much only talking to each other through all of this. Like, they don't even try and make it seem like there's that much interaction, but whatever. Kelly and Brenda are decorating monogrammed cookies, and they give Dylan a cookie-based ultimatum in clip 18.
Dylan, Kelly and I have been talking.
Always a dangerous trend.
You see, shut up, Dick. Three Musketeers thing was a bad idea. So we've decided on a new plan.
Wait, you've decided?
Yep. You can't have your cookie and eat it, too.
Wow.
So you've got to decide which of us you want to be with on New Year's Eve.
I have so many problems with this. Like, the obvious solution is neither of us will date you. That's the end. Like, let's all try and be reasonable if we want to stay friends. Because whichever one he picked, it was never going to work out. But in addition to that, obviously what's underlying both of the girls' willingness to be part of the scheme is, like, that they each think he's going to pick them.
Uh-huh.
Anyway.
Yeah, gross.
Like, no, why? Nuts. And like, we'll just hang out prizes, while you decide.
Yeah, like, second prize is two New Year's Eves with Dylan. Nope. I would also like to add that Steve, this is in the credits, I think, this shot of him in the Santa suit with the mustache falling off. Mm-hmm. It is very winning and is now my little I am avatar because.
Yay. Very important. And adorable every time I see it. Then some bells ring, and Miriam gets her wings, and we all get to stop watching or thinking about this incredibly terrible episode.
Oh my God.
We did it. All right.
Like the kidney stone of episodic television. Terrible.
It's really unacceptable. So, most valuable player, Mrs. Teasley.
Yeah, Mrs. Teasley.
Hard to argue. Also, no one ever says this, but it's clear that even if the truck did plow into the bus, everyone would be fine because her shoulder pads are airbags.
And that's why you wear a blazer around the house, kids. You just never know what's going to happen.
Least valuable player. Brandon.
God.
Yeah, I was going to go God, too. Yeah, totally. He could have ended this series and boom, done.
I know, but here we all are.
Oh, the pain we would have avoided. It's really true. You really dropped the ball on this one, God.
Yeah, way to go, God.
All right. The Moo Moo Parker Challenge. 5 ways from this episode Brandon could have possibly ended up dead. Let's start with the easiest one, hit by a truck driver in a head-on crash.
I think we failed to mention that he once again is champing his gum.
Oh, yeah.
Revoltingly, yep. And they could have hit a bump and he could have choked on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
Fell off the ladder while decorating the Christmas tree.
That would have been nice. Gotten some kind of like 4 times power, hideous hyper AIDS from Nikki that she probably got from Diesel in his leather jacket with no shirt.
Wow.
And were we not all thinking it?
The cock by Andrea.
Nice. All right.
Yeah. Why should I take a back seat? Because I'm a girl?
You shouldn't. It is time for the I Hate Brenda book, Shannon Doherty Exposed excerpt. Moving on to her relationship with Brian Austin Green. Although they used to be seen frequently on the town together, Shannon hasn't danced quite as often with the pierced and perky Brian Green, who plays David Silver, the disc spinning jock and jockey. Okay, fair enough. And resident rap master of West Beverly High. At least not
rap
much.
Master?
With a hyphen. Not much since their last hit song ended in 1992 on a rather sour note when he was implicated by the press to be involved in the incident with Bonita Money at Roxbury. I love that they talk about this like it's a known fact. Okay, sure, of course, that incident.
Oh, the incident. Okay.
In fact, he was an innocent bystander that night. He appeared in court with Shannon, guiding her firmly through the crowd after the proceedings, although not down on her. Okay. He has been quoted in the press with his own perception of Shannon and her bitchiness, and acknowledged that she can be that way at times. One thing Brian and Shannon have had in common is their profanity. Apparently, they rival each other for the foulest mouth on and off set. An LA band known as the Muffs happened to be at the studio one day and later revealed that he chain-smoked incessantly while spewing his never-ending stream of profanity. He even offended the Muffs with his potty talk.
Not the Muffs.
When Ronnie, one of the band members, pressed the I Hate Brenda newsletter into his eagerly outstretched hands, he quickly penned his autograph across the front page. Then Tori glanced at the newsletter, her expression vague, and signed it as well. Meanwhile, the crew members made comments about the I Hate Brenda t-shirt being the official shirt for the set. Brian said he wanted to wear the t-shirt and perhaps work the whole concept into the show as a plot line. How would that have worked? I really wish we ever got to find out. But that is the end of our excerpt for this week.
And that's the end of another episode of Again With This. Next time, it's a drag race, that is, as Steve and Brandon seek to avenge Andrea's hit and running. Elsewhere, Kelly and Brenda sell themselves short in the dating department. Plus, Donna has a face for radio. Speaking of that, our visual aids are always available at previously.tv. You can follow us on Twitter at previouslytv. I'm Sarah D. Bunting, and you can find me on Twitter at Tomato Nation. My esteemed co-host Tara Ariano is, strangely enough, on Twitter at Tara Ariano. And you can find Dave Cole at Clark on Instagram. See you next time.
Hi, you know what to do after the beeparoonie.
This has been a production of the Previously.tv Podcast Network.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.